All during the 2024 presidential campaign, Donald Trump repeated a list of promises, many of them day one promises, that he said would put America first. Now, I know we're only 11 months in with his second term of office, but let me ask you a question. How's he doing with those promises? When you look at what Trump's focus has it been addressing your concerns and your priorities? Is Trump truly putting America and what matters in America first? Joining us to discuss this, as he did in a recent column for the Daily Caller, called "With Gaza Deal Done, Asia Trip Over, Time for Trump to Turn Inward or Else," is senior analyst for the Coalition for a Prosperous America, Kenneth Raposa. How are you today, Ken?
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
And website for Coalition for Prosperous America is prosperousamerica.org. We do have that at our homepage as well. I could name the polls, but it's really not necessary because they're all basically in the same ballpark, give or take a point. When it comes to domestic issues, Trump is not even close to scoring even 50-50 split, is he?
No, right, and it's been in decline. And it's been mostly in decline because of, you know, focus on the Gaza war, right? That was a big problem that turned off a lot of the more harder right MAGA supporters. And the constant trade talks that we've seen with Asia recently and the South Korea trip, with that is now over. And so there were a lot of people who were just saying, you know, I hear Trump talking a lot about Israel and he's talking about Ukraine, and that war is still going on, and he was promised peace. We'd like to see peace. We want to see that over with now so we can focus inward, but we're not seeing the focus inward. That doesn't mean that he's not doing that. Again, let's just remind your listeners that all of these trade trips, like the most recent one to South Korea, where he met with leaders from Malaysia and so on, well, he actually went to those countries as well, are part of the America First trade agenda, right? So that is in domestic policy, right, as much as it is a outward-looking policy because, of course, he's looking for markets for the United States. But it is also a domestic agenda. The trade agenda is very much a domestic agenda. But these are long-term concerns, and Americans are really looking at Trump and saying, I need some immediate concerns. I need to see some action on the home front and less action on foreign policy. So let's see. I think the White House recognizes that now, and so we're going to see where they stand in the next few weeks. I think we're going to see a turnaround here.
Well, I am seeing reports that he's planning this, something he's been missing now for quite some time, any kind of domestic rallies, just, you know, get in touch with the people again. But the problem is he recently goes on Fox News to say the affordability issue is, his words, a hoax. So is he going to do a 180 on that as he rallies? Gosh. Is he going to do a 180 on that on these rallies and say, okay, I promised it was tougher than I thought, which he said that in the recent past too. It was a bigger hill to climb than he thought it was going to be. Or is he going to go out there and continue with the affordability as a hoax? Because, you know, like it or not, it's really tough to get Trump to say, you know what, I didn't get it, but I think I get it now.
It's a bad look to say affordability is a hoax because his own constituents are saying that the cost of living is a problem. Now, what Trump has to do is really get out ahead of this narrative. Forget the affordability is a hoax thing. If he wants to go that route, then what he has to do is take that narrative and push it, ram it down the Democratic Party's throat, really, because the cost of living is worse in blue cities and states. And a lot of the issues related to cost of living, of course, have to do with COVID and stimulus and Biden and the Fed. But a lot of those issues that are causing inflation or rising costs above inflation are issues that are created by the states. They're not something that the federal government can control. Trump has very few levers that he can control to lower the cost of living in the United States immediately. The only one I could think of would be the Fed. The Fed has to lower rates, for example, for it, but that would be mostly beneficial to homeowners, right? If your credit card rate is 26%, you have $10,000 revolving debt on it, and it goes to 24%, that's not a big deal. But if you're a homeowner and your mortgage is 5% and it goes down to 3%, that is a huge deal for refinancing. You're saving hundreds of dollars a month in dead money just in insurance rates. But these are things, again, that are up to the Fed to do. So there is a cost of living issue, absolutely. But what Trump should do is get out ahead of it. Him and his surrogate should get out ahead of it and remind people that the cost of living issue is really something that we're seeing more in Democratic cities and states. And what have they done about it recently? And let them see what kind of answers they can come up with.
Dr. Kenneth Raposa, who is a senior analyst for the Coalition for a Prosperous America, recently wrote a column for the Daily Caller. With Gaza deal done, Asia trip over, time for Trump to turn inward or else. We'll get to the or else in a moment here. Website, prosperousamerica.org, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. We talk about the economy, affordability, health care. We've heard this might be the 7th anniversary now of Trump saying that, well, I'll have an alternative to Obamacare released in 2 weeks. Well, because that's not a red issue, that's not a blue issue, that's an everybody issue right now.
Absolutely. And let's not forget that in Trump, in his first go around as president, he was promised by the likes of Paul Ryan that we as the Republicans have a better version of Obamacare and we're going to make it happen. And then Trump said, great. He believed them. He believed the Republican leadership and said, let's do it. Show us. And Paul Ryan had nothing except narrative. And so we are where we are today because of the Democrats, because of the Republicans. And the reason why the Affordable Care Act, I didn't even know this, has survived is because of subsidies. And when those subsidies were eventually let to sunset, as Democrats and Republicans both agreed would happen, we've seen the people who rely on that policy, mostly the self-employed. Right, but again, that might include small businesses like a pizza shop, right?
Right.
The guy who owns that, and what he has to pay for his health insurance now is going up, as opposed to someone who works for GM who has large group insurance policies where prices aren't so affected by the Affordable Care Act. But those other guys, the pizza shop owner, yes, his insurance is going to go up because the subsidy has gone away. And so that's a big cost of living issue. I really don't know what the solution is to that in particular, but I think that if you're Republican or Democrat and your health insurance went from $300 a month to $800, or in some cases I'm hearing on social media, true or not, $1,000 to $3,000 a month, that's unaffordable. And if people are looking at that, again, all for the rest of 2026, that is a huge problem for Trump, because that will, you know, the Democrats are always going to be the ones who come out and say, let's put the subsidies back on, let's do this. They won't be seen as the guys who cause the problem. It'll be mostly the Trump administration that will be seen as the problem. So I don't know what they're going to do about this, even though Trump has talked about it. Let's not forget, he said this, I think, yesterday or the day before in the Oval Office. He wants to come up with new pricing plans for insurance so people could negotiate directly with insurance companies rather than going through the ACA. So we'll see how that works out. But it's a huge problem. It's a huge part of the cost of living, and a huge part of inflation overall is health services.
Well, the problem with that idea, too, is that if you're buying as an individual, you're going to get a much higher rate than if you were buying as part of a collective.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. Yep. I asked my own insurance company if what was going to happen, because I was hearing all these horror stories about the Affordable Care Act and what was going to happen to mine. And mine is not going up, but I have the big group plan, so I don't have to. I don't have to worry about it. At least not now, knock on wood. I hope that doesn't change. But, yeah, you know, these are things that Trump can't ignore, right? Because and forget the health insurance. That's always been a perennial disaster for both parties. And again, Obama got the Obamacare thing, but that was surviving on, you know, subsidies that it was unsustainable. Subsidies paid for what? Seems like subsidies paid for 2/3 of the cost of the insurance. Which, I mean, that's ridiculous. When now you're going to take that subsidy away, you almost can never take it away. Because there's no person in the world that can afford to have their insurance go up 75%. That's just not sustainable. No one's going to appreciate that. So, but there are other costs. And the cost that Trump can deal with, really, his hands are tied. A lot of it comes to the states, down to the states, like electricity costs and so on. He has to hop on the Fed to lower rates. And he's already doing this with oil and gas and making sure that we're you know, producing as much as we can. We are producing more than we were under Biden. And again, when you look at the, we started our conversation about the, about foreign policy and how Trump was focused more on overseas action. He was almost forced to do that. That you can't be talking about wars and rumors of wars, because that's just going to send oil prices higher. Then oil prices are going to go higher, and then the Fed is going to say, well, we can't lower rates now because oil and gas is such a huge part of our core inflation index. So now the Fed is not going to cut rates. They might even lower rate, raise rates. So we have to make sure that we don't have, we do have peace, and that's what Trump always says that he was focused on. That's one of the reasons why a lot of people who were former Democrats voted for Trump the first time and the second time. And he has to turn inward and focus on understanding that the cost of living is rising. I've got to get the Fed to lower rates. I've got to keep hammering them on this. And to remind the electorate that the cost of living is worse in cities and states that are run by Democrats. Where else is gasoline almost $5 a gallon? It's in California. It's not in Texas. It's not in Florida. Where is electricity rates so expensive because of, you know, green policy mandates where you must get your electricity from solar or wind? That's in Massachusetts. That's not in Oklahoma. So these are issues that he has to bring to the fore so people understand, hey, wait a minute now. The cost of living is high where I am here in New York City, is high where I am. And they're not going to vote for Trump, but at least to get it so that the average person, the independent, understands that that's not all something that the president can solve.
Well, certainly talk in educational ways instead of bumper sticker language, which is, I think, one of his faults. But just to wrap up here, because we started with polls, and I want to end with polls. Again, it doesn't really matter the name of the poll. They're pretty much in the same ballpark. Trump made tremendous inroads with crossover votes. You mentioned Democrats voting for him, non-whites voting for Republicans in near, if not historical, numbers. If you look at the poll numbers now of those demographics, they're going back the way they came. They're not going to be there in 2026 for the Republicans. Is that going to be the dilemma that's going to just magnify what is, I guess, excused as a traditionally off-year election, penalizing the party in power?
Absolutely, and that's a trend that happens no matter who's in power, right? Whether it's a Democrat or a Republican, the House usually flips the other direction. And people are voting for Trump. They're Republicans turn out to vote for Trump. They don't turn out to vote for Lindsey Graham and Mitt Romney. He's not a senator anymore. But they don't turn out for those guys, right? They turn out for Trump. But Trump is not on the ballot in the midterm. So the message has to be from Trump and his surrogates and even the influencers that we have on social media who are more or less pro-Trump, have to explain to people that if the Republicans lose the House and Senate, all you're going to do is have impeachment theatrics for the next year or two. It's going to be more problematic. There's going to be no solution to cost of living because the Democrats aren't going to, you know, they're going to, you know, turn the entire political story of getting Trump. That's going to be the whole story again. We did that already. We went through this already. If everybody remembers in 2017 and 18, it wasn't helpful. And they're not going to get the likes of senators like John Fetterman, who an apolitical person or an independent would probably like, even many Republicans. They're not going to get a guy like Sherrod Brown, who was a former senator in Ohio. They're not going to get that type of character. They're going to get, you know, hard left progressive activists who are going to be taking those seats. They're going to get people who are going to usher in and help usher in a guy like Gavin Newsom. Okay, so, you know, in a state that has the most rabid social inequality of all 50 states, $5 gasoline. Well, now I think it's $4.60 because it's come down like the rest of the nation, but still about a dollar more than everybody else. This is who we're going to get. So I think people have to understand that if they don't go to the polls in November, and we'll see how that works out, the trend already is against the Republicans because that's how it is, no matter who the president is. But if they don't turn out and the Democrats win, then they know what they're going to get. And they're going to get years of impeachment stories and the America First trade agenda likely stalled.
So it demonstrates Kenneth in his article, the or else part. You can read the whole article over the Daily Caller. With Gaza deal done, Asia trip over, time for Trump to turn inward or else. He is also a senior analyst for the Coalition for a Prosperous America. ProsperousAmerica.org, their website. Kenneth Raposa, thank you for your educational insight today. A pleasure talking to you, sir.
Likewise. Thanks for having me on.